Blog Talk Radio.
Why be afraid if I'm not alone? Life is never easy. Rest is unknown. And up to now, for me, it's been hands against all. And each and every moment, certain what to believe.
Coming out of the dark,
I finally see the light now, and it's shining on me.
Coming out of the dark,
I know the love that saved me, sharing with me.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Dr. Catherine May's Blog Talk Radio Program Channel Panel. We have a special edition tonight, a very special call on a Friday evening. Today is, I think, All Hallows Eve, October 30th. So welcome, everyone. We have a very special guest tonight. Some of you may have already seen our announcement. We have a special guest who we're going to call Stanley. Stanley has escaped from the underground cabal and is here to be interviewed with Dr. Catherine May about his lifetime of enslavement in the secret underground, as well as being part of the frequency, high-pitched sonic and psychic frequencies that are causing a lot of people on surface earth mental confusion, some physical pain, and some other things we're going to be hearing about tonight. So this is a very special program, and many of our callers and people who are emailing Dr. Catherine May are saying that they are really feeling some strong energies and some strong frequencies, and we're so glad that Stanley is going to be here with us tonight to talk about what this is all about and hopefully the beginning of the end of this program. For those of you who are not signed up yet to get our newsletters with our latest information like this and our special guests, please go to whoneedslight.org and hit the sign-up button to make sure you're getting our New Earth Times directly in your email with the latest information about what's happening on our ascension on planet Earth and our messages from our channels from the Company of Heaven and Mother and Father God. My name is Meg, your co-host for this evening. And with that, I'll welcome Dr. Catherine May. Welcome, Catherine. Hi.
Hi, Meg.
Hi.
You said... Hopefully this will be the end of this program. We don't mean the end of Channel Panel, folks.
Oh, heavens. I'm sorry. Thank you for that clarification.
the end of this cabal program.
Cabal program.
Mm-hmm. Which I will say a little bit about right now. Not everyone feels the frequency attacks quite as intensely as we do. Some people are being protected. Others aren't as tuned in to this level of frequency, so they don't feel it quite as intensely. But I've been hearing from a number of people who've said they feel pain and misery and have strange ideas going through their heads. Well, the strange ideas that you never thought before, perhaps, or only in your worst moment of your entire life might have even considered, are being sent like piggybacked on the sonic frequencies that they're being, that are putting out. I have trouble talking. We are really being attacked right now. Christine was the one in this project who has agreed to experience it all. She's documenting it. She's speaking with the company of heaven all day long. We are being protected. So it's promised. There will be no permanent damage. There will be no, once it's over, their words are, once it's over, it's over. But in the meantime, especially since I posted this show, ever since I posted this show, we have been under constant attack. And the effect that it has is that it really feels to Christine like they're trying to kill her. She gets a shrieking headache, and it's like they're trying to cause a stroke in her brain. I feel it a bit less because they've said our arrangement is one of us has to be able to function to take care of Christine. But she's just resolute. She's got both thumbs up. She can't talk, but she's got both thumbs up. And a smile. And her toes, too. Yeah. So we know that this is time limited. We know that it has a really important purpose. We aren't totally clear about what all of that is. But we know that it's the end of an era. And we also have been learning day by day what this really is. And I can tell you, we had no idea. Today, Christine followed the frequencies back, the ones that she can feel. She followed them back, and she said, these are somebody in like a mobile unit, and they're special ops people. So they may be moving around, so they're harder to track. But they're sending the worst. The worst they can do is what they're sending now. So people are going to be feeling it. I mean, I can feel it in my heart. They're trying to give me a heart attack. So if you feel sore all over, or you feel, anywhere you ever had an injury or a pain, it shows up again times three. So they really are trying. They really are trying to stop us. And the worse it got, the more Christine said, promise me you won't cancel. Promise me you'll have the show. They mustn't stop us. And so they're not stopping us. Now, I have to, you have a story you want to tell, Meg, about someone that came to see you today. So
just today. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, why don't you talk about that for a moment, and I'll check in with Stanley.
Okay, super. So once we saw this call being posted, and I knew what we were going to talk about tonight, I was just very open and excited and holding energy for what this call was going to mean. And also, the morning after Wednesday's call, I was on a walk with my dogs and saw, it must have been 20 chemtrails over my park. It's the most I've ever seen in my area of the world. And I felt intuitively that this was some strong reaction to what we had opened with Miss Pebble's story and the story that we shared on Wednesday night's call, which was very moving. And I knew something had shifted. I knew we were entering into a new period of the beginning of the end of this frequency program. So my heart was open to what this call was about. And then today, a young woman came to visit me at my place of work. And she had been given my name by a mutual friend as somebody who was involved with these types of programs and doing light work and wanting to get the word out about our ascension and how we can all help each other and come together as a team. And we sat down, and in an hour, I went over all of the information I could think of, most current,
And she went into this discussion about how lost she has been feeling lately, her lifelong depression. But lately, she's been feeling just under a cloud that makes her feel like she wants to kill herself. And it's been very strong for the last 2 days. And she goes, I'm not going to, but I don't understand what this is. And I just am so lost, and I'm having trouble holding on. And she actually said, I feel like I'm losing myself, just like Miss Pebbles did and it described to us so beautifully on Wednesday night's call. And I knew that she was being attacked. So I told her to come on the call tonight, so I know she's listening, and this is going to mean the world of difference for us to understand and being able to tell the difference between, you know, what are our own thoughts to clear of our programming and what is being sent to us. So I'm looking forward to hearing more about this. But she was told at least the start of how to work with these frequencies and that it's not her. It was all new information, and she was very relieved. And we went outside to put the cherry on the cake and took pictures of our ships. So that really made her happy when she saw the ships in her camera. It was, that just did it. So she felt, just wept with relief, knowing she was being followed at every minute. And her ships were enormous, beautiful. So that all made us feel much better. So, but this is real. This was, she said, in 2 days, it's been the worst ever. So I know other people are feeling maybe not something that strong, but maybe some, just like that.
A lot of light workers are feeling it. And the other, one of the reasons we are doing this show is really in honor of other light workers, because there are so many of them who are doing work that they cannot talk about. They're undercover, or they're, you know, boots on the ground doing some kind of really secret work that has not yet been announced, but will be, of course. We will find out all kinds of things about people who have been working really hard. But not yet, until it's all safe. So it's really important that people understand we can come out and say this, because we're being protected. We've been promised that we'll be protected. We've even had a better connection lately because the Company of Heaven, Ashtar in particular, is keeping our connection open. I think sometimes Michael has something to do with that too. So we can talk about it. And we've been told by Mother and Father and the others that it's okay, that we will be protected. We've also been told that Stanley, the one we're calling Stanley, will be protected. It was not decided yet how we would make contact with him, but we decided just a few minutes ago that it's safe for him if he just speaks through me. So he's going to speak in my ear, and I'm going to tell everyone what he's saying, because we have a very good connection. I have been speaking with him telepathically many times a day. He was trained to do this in the underground, so he is very skillful at making contact and communicating telepathically. So I will be, I don't know what he wants to talk about. I told him I would ask a few basic questions to help guide him if he wants. But otherwise, I would just leave it up to him to decide how much he can reveal right now. And I think we also will have Stanley back very soon, as soon as it's safe for him to do so. So, Stanley, do I have you on the line? Yes, Catherine, I'm here. Okay. I'm just going to... I'm going to ask Stanley questions, and Meg, if you have anything you want to ask also, you come on in and we'll both talk to him.
Okay.
But in the meantime, I will bring whatever Stanley wants to say through so the folks can hear him. All right, Stanley, are you ready? Yes, Catherine, I'm ready. Okay, I'm just going to let you speak. And you give us whatever outline of your life and your experiences, how you came to work with the Cabal, what you've learned since you've been out, anything you want to talk about is okay with us. Okay, Catherine. I'll begin with how I ended up in the Cabal. I was a child, and my father was one of the leaders who was in the development of this frequency program. And I was taught from the time I was a little child how to, we had classes, you know, we had all kinds of secret sorts of classes that we were told were very special. So from the time I was a little kid, I was taken to these classes, and it was scary because I was threatened a lot, and I was told if I didn't go to the classes, I wouldn't have all the special privileges and all the good things that my parents were giving me, and that we were a very special family, and we weren't to talk about that because it was very important, and that our father did very sometimes dangerous work, and so we couldn't talk to him about it, but that we would learn as we got older, and we could learn to be as special as he was. So by the time I was 2 years old, I was being trained. And it was my whole life. It was all I knew. Except I can say this because there are other families now that have escaped. Other kids and some of their parents and their mothers. So I can tell you this story. My mother was very kind to me whenever she could be. She couldn't say kind and loving things to me when my father was around because he said it would turn me into a sissy. But my mother was very loving and kind, and I knew she loved me. She would hug me and tuck me into bed. But she had to be very careful about what she said because I think our house was bugged, so everybody knew what she said to me. So she had to be very careful. She would look at me, and I would know what she was thinking because she would send very loving looks to me. It was all very secret. Everything was secret about our lives. We didn't play with the other kids. And I knew that my sister was picked out to do special things, they said. And it scared her a lot what they did to her. And it's hard for me to talk about now. But I know that they were doing terrible things to her. And they wouldn't let me know because they said they had something very important for me, very important work that I was being groomed to do. But I could see that she was crying a lot. And she was very afraid to go with them when they went someplace that they said was a special meeting. And that she was a very prized little girl. It didn't seem like she felt very prized. She seemed scared. I will speak about these things more at another time. I don't want to reveal too much about my family because there are still a few people who are in danger and I can't talk about them. I also won't tell you right now where I was stationed, but I will talk about all these things, and the next time I may be able to call in and talk with you in person. But Catherine is reading my thoughts very clearly, and so she's telling you exactly what I'm telling her to say. So I'll describe to you a little more about what I was taught. I studied science, and I was very good at it. So they promoted me and rewarded me, but there was always this feeling of danger. My father was very cruel, and I wouldn't have said that before until I left and realized that there are so many kind people who don't behave like him at all. But I was kept very close to the family. I only had one or two friends, and they were all in the same program with me, being trained to do secret underground work. And they told us that being allowed to go into the underground was very special and very important, and that I mustn't ever tell anyone. So I had some classes, not in a regular school, but I had tutoring to learn mathematics and science. And I began very early, when I was young, to learn how to be telepathic. Of course, everyone is telepathic, and I had a flair for it, so they really worked on getting me to, well, I can describe some of the lessons. They would say, okay, I'm looking at a picture, and they'd show me the back of the picture, and they'd say, I'm looking at the picture, what am I seeing? And I would see the picture of like a red apple or a tree or something, and I would tell them, and they would get very excited when I got it right, which I always did. So then those were the beginning lessons, and then it got harder and harder, but I found I could really read what people were thinking and transmitting to me, and that made people very excited. And they talked about how I was going to be a great leader in our community and how I was going to learn to do very important work. And they made it sound like we were like the real government in the country, the United States, and that we were the real government and that we were helping to make things better for everybody, and that we had the answers that people needed, and we were doing the special research and special studies, and that we were going to protect our families. And they talked a lot about all the dangers in the outside world and how the country was being taken over by dangerous people who just wanted to give everything away and do crazy things. And it was very important that we were being trained to protect the country and to take care of the interests of our very loving and very special community. They used the words love a lot, and they said we were the light ones. We were the ones who were working for good. And I heard that all the time, that we were the good ones, and that there were bad people all over, all around, that we had to fear. So we mustn't go out by ourselves, and we mustn't mix with the other people, because it was a very dangerous world, and we were the ones who were being trained to save the world. And that I was going to have a very special part in that. So I was very proud. I knew it would be hard. They told me it would be very hard, and I would have to do things that were very painful sometimes, but that was part of the training. It was to make me brave. It was really torture. my father would get a look in his eyes that was cold and frightening. And I knew I had to obey, because if I didn't, he would make it harder for my sister. He would do things, and he would yell at my mom, and she would look frightened. And I knew he threatened her. And I knew he had weapons, too. And he knew how to use them. It was not what any of you would call a happy childhood. But I didn't know that at the time. I thought I was a chosen one. They told me I was a chosen child and that I would be famous one day. And people would thank me for the wonderful things I was learning and how brave I was and how I was going to face down the evil people who were threatening us. It was a completely closed, completely shut in life. And anyone who lived that way could not possibly know the truth. We were not allowed access to the kind of fun that other children have. Sometimes we would have games, and they would organize games between the children of the organization. Of course, they didn't call it the cabal. That's what you folks call it, because you know how dark it really is. But I didn't know that. I thought I was doing something very courageous and very important. They told us there is a God, but that we couldn't talk to God directly, but that we were really doing God's work, and that we would one day be rewarded for what we were doing. Because this is what God wanted us to do. So you see, they told us all the things. Well, not quite the same. You're not told that you're the only special one and that you're more important than anybody else. I've only learned that recently. The people that protect me, that have been taking care of me, treat each other and everyone with so much kindness. It takes my breath away. I have never seen anything like it before. Catherine didn't actually ask me to come here. I offered, because I wanted everybody to know what it's like, and I want everyone to know my sister is not to blame for what she does. And I know they tell me I wasn't to blame. They hug me and they tell me I was courageous to leave and that they're glad I'm helping. But I feel so sick inside when I remember the things I did. I will tell you where my studies led. I became very adept at this telepathy. And I could send messages very effectively across the globe, and I could focus my energies in a very special way. I could also receive messages from almost anybody who wanted to communicate with me. But I can tell you, it never once occurred to me to try to speak to God. Never. It's only since I talked to Catherine and Christine, and they said, you can ask Mother and Father to come home. You can talk to them. You know how. And I was stunned. But I'm getting ahead of the story. I was going to tell you about what my training led to. It's hard for me to talk about. Later, when it's safer for me and for all those around me. I don't want to jeopardize the people who are protecting me. And we are feeling the frequencies a lot. And it's ironic because my training was to learn all about frequencies, what they do, how to create them. And the program was already underway by the time I was about 18. They let me do special work, and that was to learn how to design frequencies that would hurt people. Of course, they told me I was designing these frequencies to protect my family and to protect the very important, very good organization that we were part of, and that we were the only ones who stood for freedom. And there were so many people who were trying to attack us and destroy our organization. I believed it all. And I was very dedicated to my work, and I studied very hard. And I also was very creative, so for someone in our group, I was more creative than most of them. I don't know why that happened, because I was certainly as brainwashed as everybody else, but I seemed to have an ability that others didn't have. And I think it was because of my mother, because she was so accepting of me. And she didn't actually say the words to encourage me when I showed interest in art or music or things like that, but I would see the smile in her eyes. And when I said something funny, she laughed. So I knew she liked that side of me, although I learned not to talk about it or to do it in front of others very much. But when they gave me the job of developing frequencies, they taught me how the frequencies can be aimed by designing it in a particular special way. You can create, well, let me explain. Every feeling has a frequency. Every thought has a frequency. And the thoughts that are important, the thoughts that go with feelings, have a very special, distinct frequency. And so they taught me how to design and make the transmitters work to send exactly the right frequency. And I also learned how to identify groups of people or areas on the globe or even individual people. If they were distinct in their energies, they would be easy to find. So, of course, Christine and Catherine are very easy to find because they have a bright light and they create the pillar of light that comes up from the ground, so they're very easy to locate. And so I was taught to aim the frequencies at these people, especially the ones that put up these bright lights. And of course we thought, I was told, that those are the ones who are the most dangerous, and that these are the frequencies we are to put out, to aim at those people. And we sent frequencies like the one that you, Meg, talked about. When people show the energy that they've been depressed, it's a particular low vibration. And then we sometimes see if it's someone who also has moments where they put out light. We know that's the person who will be most affected by by the frequencies that say, kill yourself, or die, or you don't deserve to live. Now that I say this, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry for what I did. I'm the one who designed the program that is hurting Christine and Catherine. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I never cried when I was in the underground. I couldn't. No one ever cried. I'm sorry. It makes me very sad to think that I was the one who helped to design these terrible attack frequencies. They convinced me that I was a hero, that I was saving the world, and that these would be used to hold off the attackers. And the attackers were the ones who put up these bright lights. They were signaling each other, and that they knew that themselves that they could see each other by sending up these bright lights, and they were trying to communicate with each other, but they weren't as smart about it as we were, because we don't have to put out light. We just communicate in our minds. And then I heard Catherine's show, and she was doing it. Only she could talk with people like Mother and Father God. And so when they put me on service to listen to these programs and to send the frequencies to them, I started to listen. I was horrified. They sounded different from what I had been told. And I was really taught a lot not to let in kindness, or they didn't call it kindness. They said, you hear that sappy sound? That's stupid. They're not being loving. They're being insane. They're really insane and delusional. And they talk about God like it was the next door neighbor. That's ridiculous. What kind of God would be that weak? You see, it was a whole program. Everything was covered. Every possibility, every thought, every feeling was re-described and redefined and hammered into our heads day in and day out. But I listened, and they had me They had me on the shift that would listen to Catherine's show. And I heard Sananda. And I heard the way she talked about Sananda. And Christine was there. And Archangel Michael. We'd heard about Archangel Michael. He was very powerful, but very distant. But Christine talked about him like he was her best friend. And then he would come on, and they were funny, and they were kind, and they sounded like real people. And I started getting upset, and I was having trouble sending the frequencies. So they took me off the shift, and then I had to sneak to try to listen to the show. I would find a computer and, like in the library, and I would listen, and I would pretend I was reading about frequencies. And the people that I had told were important, and the scientists who developed the programs that I was being taught. So I heard some of the shows whenever I could. And then after a while, they put me back on because they trusted me. My father was very powerful and well known in the cabal. We were one of the families that was very rich. And so sometimes I had very luxurious accommodations at home. And then when I worked in the underground, it was very sparse. And they talked about how that was courageous and very important that I could fit in. And other people would accept me, even though I was from this very important, very special family. And that my father had done this kind of training too, and that he was very courageous and a very high person. He was in charge of the underground system where I worked. And he was in charge of the frequency program, which is far more important than you know. I'm not saying this because they told me it was important. I've learned since I've been out that people are feeling it all over the world, and we were told that they were. We knew that it was changing people's personalities and that it was a part of the whole program to cull the people who were really bad. And they used the frequencies in combination with the chemtrail programs. So we were trained partly how to cooperate, how to organize what we were doing to fit with the kind of laboratory experiments they were doing in the nearby laboratories, where they were dropping, where they were putting, I need to stop for a moment, I need to catch my breath. Catherine is reassuring me it's okay. Okay. They were putting these small particles into the mist that they were spraying. Sometimes the particles were like chips, but they were very tiny, and they would fall in with the rain, and they would get into the food supply. Sometimes they were purposely injected, especially into the animals. It was easy to do, so they would inject this into the animals' meat, and then the people would eat them. And their bodies would be filled with these nanoparticles, and some of them had combinations of living particles with them, like parasites. They would attach a parasite, a small tissue, not a being exactly, but a living thing, attached to a nanoparticle that was like a computer chip. And then once they were in a person's body, they could follow orders, and they would create, they would go to places in the person's body, and I would be directing them with the frequencies, and the frequencies would make the nanoparticles obey. And they could go and gather in a person's heart and give them a heart attack, or they would go into their brain and make people have a stroke. There were many, many, many of these programs. And they were designed to hurt people. They were much more pervasive than anyone on the surface knows. They were designed to sicken people, to cause a number of diseases like cancer, neurological diseases, and all kinds of emotional problems. some of them could even be aimed at interfering with the hippocampus or other areas in the center of the brain that manage emotions. They were designed to make people insane, but especially to make them violent and insanely violent. And so the people you see who go crazy and get a gun or a knife or something, it's because they have been compromised by these programs. I'm so ashamed. But I was taught, I must tell you this. I come here to tell you this because then you'll understand. I didn't know I was being a bad person. I didn't know that what I was doing was evil, although it made me feel weird and uncomfortable. I was always praised, and then people would say it was all right, and then they would give me drugs that would make me feel calm. And so I was convinced I was doing the right thing because there were all these dangerous, very dangerous people who were getting ready to attack us. They would even monitor the shows we could watch. And we had our own stations that we would watch, and they were all about this. There were many, many war programs and programs about technology and how to kill effectively, and it made everyone feel afraid and made us feel like we were doing the right thing. Although it didn't feel like the right thing. And so when I started listening to Catherine's program and Christine and Meg and the people they channeled, I knew Catherine was doing something like I was doing. And Christine could do it too. And it made me think. And then when I was on the shift that was sending these terrible frequencies to Catherine and Christine all day long, all week long, we would see on our screen, we could read what effect the frequencies were having when we sent them. And I knew that I turned up the dial as high as it would go. They kept encouraging me to do that because they were studying what would happen. And Christine would, once in a while, she cried. She would cry out. But then she would say, "I'm not stopping. I know who you are, and I'm here because I love you. And I want you to come home. Please come home. You're my brothers and sisters." It took my breath away. Her voice was shaken by the frequencies, I could tell. But she never gave in. And when we got the readings back, I would be sending out the highest frequency we could possibly emit. And what we read on the screen was that it was only affecting her maybe 30%, or sometimes almost up to 50%. But then it would drop back down again. And we would watch how it was not having the effect it was supposed to. And the same thing happened with Catherine, only even less. And then Catherine would say, "I'm being protected. You can't kill us. We're being protected. The company of heaven is protecting us." And she said Ashtar was the one. And I had heard about Ashtar. And I knew he had to do with spaceships and I knew he was a supreme commander. We had our own supreme commanders. But they talked about Ashtar because he was like on the other side. And when they talked about Ashtar protecting them, I first thought, oh, well, they're the ones. They're working for the dark, and so is he. And that's why he's protecting them. But I thought we had the most advanced technology of all. So how could he be protecting them? We were supposed to have had the best technology. And Christine and Catherine would say, oh, this is nothing for them. They have much more complex technology than anything that you have designed. And that got through to me. I heard them say that, and I saw the evidence on my screen. And then I started thinking, well, if they're right about that, if that's true, maybe there's something else they're saying that's true. And I watched, and I listened. And when they talked to each other, not on the show or anything, just, you know, we had microphones everywhere. We have microphones that can climb a tree. And they have a tree right outside their windows, so we could hear everything. And we listened to them all day long. And they were so kind to each other. And they had their pets. And they would say to each other, I love you so much. They would say that to each other all the time. I'm so glad you're here. I love you so much. My life is so good because you're here. And they would talk to their pets like that too. I was amazed. And they started talking directly to me. Christine would say, I see you there. I know. The one who's sending that frequency right now, yes, it hurts. It hurts a lot. But you look at your screen and you'll see. I'm not feeling it as much as you're sending it because Ashtar and the Company of Heaven are protecting me. And I would watch, and she was exactly correct. And then she said, all you have to do is go to your heart. You don't have to say anything. And you don't even have to think it in your brain, because I was afraid they could read my thoughts, because lots of them are trained to do that. She said, you don't have to think it. Just go in your heart and feel mother and father. If you're real, if what they're saying is true, I want to come home. I want to experience love. And then they said, that's all you have to do. Now just get up from your chair and walk out the door. And your angels have already arranged help for you. Because I was my father's son, I could walk out without any problem. And so I did. And there, in the street, I felt, okay, now turn right. Now go left. And there was a van. And a man in a white shirt came around the van, and he put his hand out. He said, welcome, son. Hop in. We're going to take you to safety. I started to cry because it was exactly what they said would happen. And as soon as I got a few blocks away, I said, well, I want to go back. I want to get my family. I want to bring my friends. He said, it's okay. You're protected. We'll arrange for it. You can go back and get everybody. And so I met everyone. I talked to them. I talked to Ashtar myself. I found how easy it was. I could talk to Ashtar. I could talk to Michael and Sananda and Mother and Father God. I talked to Mother and Father God too. And then they gave me this feeling like I was just being wrapped. You know, when Catherine and Christine talk about it, they call it honey love. And Mother wrapped me in her love. And Father was, oh, so kind. Nothing like what I'd been taught. And everyone who was there with me was helping me and telling me it was going to be okay. And there were others there who had escaped. There were quite a few others. I wasn't the first to come. And then we planned. We organized. We started making groups who would go back to the laboratories and the underground and get people out. And I did that. I got hundreds of people to come. I can't talk about it too much now, how I did that, but I will tell you all one day. We'll talk about all of it one day, as soon as everyone's safe. There are still underground places where people are being rescued. So I don't want to jeopardize them. But I can tell you, my mom escaped. She talked to Catherine even before I did. I'm so happy. And we got my sister out too. I can tell you, after I left and after all the other workers who were there sending the frequencies, so many of us left that the bosses had to come in, and my father was one of them. And Mother and Father had said that this program is coming to an end and that they would not allow Christine and Catherine to be hit like that again. And he was so angry, my father. He turned up the frequencies, and he even made new frequencies that would torture, and they were supposed to kill Christine. And they were so violent that the first time she got hit by it, it knocked her off her feet. And then Ashtar came in and protected her. But they said, if anyone else sends that frequency again, it will be sent back to them. It will be returned to them exactly as it came. And they warned them many times. They warned them, if you do it again, we're going to put up the mirror. And the mirror will send the frequency back to you. Do you know what this is that you're sending? And my father got furious. He said, I don't care. You're not going to stop me. And a whole lot of other things. He was just like a madman. And he kept turning it up, and he kept trying to make it worse, and he kept sending. And they counted it. They said, you have 5 seconds to stop. And he said, go ahead. I'll die with my own frequencies if I feel like it. And he turned it up so high, and they put the mirror in place to protect Christine and Catherine. And it did send the frequencies back. It sent it right back at him. And he wouldn't stop. He said, "I don't care," and tried to turn it up even more, even though he knew it was hitting him. He was insane. He was completely insane. And the more it hit him, the more he did it. And it killed him. He had a stroke. I wasn't there, but I could hear it. I know what happened to him. Because I know that's what was supposed to happen to the person who got hit. So I know, I can assure you, that these frequencies that are supposed to be killing people are not, because our galactic friends are protecting Earth. They're letting people feel it to some extent because it's important that people know. They must know what was allowed. These secret things have been going on for a long time. And they were given a lot of money to design these technologies. And everybody sees the chemtrails in the skies. And they're trained. People have learned to say, "Oh, poo-poo, that's just an airplane trail," or they're just helping us with the weather. Well, the programs go on and on, because all of you have been subjected to these programs too. Not as personally or as terribly as I was, but everyone has been brainwashed. Oh, they're trying to hit me now. Ashtar is protecting me. Everyone has been taught to believe that these evil things that were being done were not real. But I can tell you, they are real, and there is much, much more that I will tell you eventually about abominations being made in the underground that are unspeakable. I wasn't involved in those because I just didn't have the stomach for it. I knew somehow that it was wrong. But I can't talk about that now, because there are still people who are getting out around the world, and a few places still left in this country where there are people who really want to get out, but they're afraid, just as I was. I didn't leave right away. I thought about it a lot. And I had the advantage of having Christine and Catherine talking to me. My whole shift, they would talk to me. And they reassured me, and they taught me what was possible. And so I was able to leave. I'm so thankful. I can't tell you how grateful I am. I can't tell you how, from where I was to where I am now, is like a lifetime away. As soon as I was in the safe house, I met others who were talking about trying to get others to escape. And I knew then, they were helping to get people to escape from the programs that I had designed. At first, I was just stunned and so ashamed. I felt so ashamed. I couldn't even think. I just went to bed. I couldn't even talk to anyone. I was horrified at the way they were talking about these programs. And they were so good to me. And they were so loving to each other. And they understood that all of us had been so hurt by these things that were done to us and the torture we'd been through. I didn't tell you much about that. I don't need to describe the torture to you. But all I can tell you is that it was designed to make us be afraid. You will learn all about the terrible things that happened to us. You'll learn all about the thousands and thousands, hundreds of thousands of children who were brought to the classrooms in the underground. We were told they were the lucky ones. They had been brought because they had been specially identified as children who could be telepathic or who were good at science, or we were told it was a special training program and they were chosen. I know now that they were kidnapped. And they came from all over the world. Thousands and thousands. And they seemed to cry a lot when they first came. And I thought, that was ungrateful of them. Here they're entering this wonderful program. And sometimes they got me to talk to them. And I would tell them how lucky they were. I'm just horrified when I think about it. That I was used as a tool for this evil, evil organization. It's even hard to call it an organization because there are so many. And it's so intertwined and also separate. There are so many different programs, but nobody seems to know everything. It's all divided up so that people feel very protective and paranoid about what they're doing, and they don't tell anyone, and you have to have clearance, and it's all very secret, and it's enormous. It is all over the world. It is like a cancer. And it's underneath everything. The financial systems, the medical systems, you know about the drugs that they make, the vaccinations, it's true. It's all true. People say that's conspiracy theory, but it's all true. I'm surprised they haven't stopped this call. I hear noises on the line. They're trying to stop it, but they won't. You hear clicking. It's being recorded. They're listening to all of this. They will try to find us and try to hunt us down, but they won't be able to. Everyone I know who's escaped from the program is completely safe, has never been hunted or molested or given any trouble. We're so carefully protected because God is protecting us. I know that now. I'm sorry I did all those things I did. I can't even imagine how I did it now. But I'm trying to make up for what I did. I'm trying very hard. I do everything I can to try to help people get out, to try to explain why we were all there. These were not evil children. They were tricked. We were all tricked. Even my father, who died thinking he was dying for a cause, he was tortured. Worse than I was. That's probably why I was able to get free. It was completely controlled and completely pervasive. They could manage your life to the point where you couldn't possibly know the truth. They explained everything in such a way that we wouldn't see the truth. And most of the lies that they told us are being told to all of you. They talk about your leaders, the good ones. They're reviled. They're made to sound like they're evil. And the ones who really are evil are lauded and applauded and admired for speaking out, for saying, you know, for speaking out against the bad ones. Nastiness and meanness is so easy to see once you realize that's all it is. It's so easy to see the people who are nasty and who are mean and cold and cruel. They all look the same. They all sneer and mock other people and insult and threaten. It's all they do. They act like that all the time. And then they're applauded for it. That's why my father was so terrible. But we admired him. He was treated like a hero. He was a hero. In our community, he was a hero. But now I see he was just a bully. Cruel, vicious, relentless bully. I beg all of you, open your eyes. See them all around you. They're not all hidden underground. They're the ones who are running for office. They're the ones who are controlling the banks. They're the ones who control the medical industry, the food supply, the water supply, everything. Catherine says, and mother and father say, it's ending now. The matrix is dissolving. It's falling apart. I'm so relieved. I know what their power is, and I see it everywhere still. But I also see so many good people. And now that I know what that light is, I can see the light. I see the light in people all around me now. And everyone who came to greet me had a bright light. And the ones who were rescued, they're all developing a bright light. All of us, and they tell me, my light is getting brighter every day. I'm so glad I had a chance to tell all of you this. I promise you I will come back when I'm more able to manage my feelings and when I'm able to tell you more. I will come and speak with my own voice. And Catherine and Christine are always saying, we'll see you at the after party. And you'll know me because I'll tell you, I was the one who was Stanley. And then we'll hug. And we'll all dance together.
And it's going to be such a wonderful time. I'm getting lots of help now to help me heal. But this week, I insisted I had to work. I'm working very hard every day, all day. I'm working with others. I can't tell you exactly what we're doing, but we're stopping the frequencies. We will stop it. I promise you all, I will not stop until I've ended this, until I'm able to break it. We're getting close. I promise you, I'll make up for what I did, and I will end it. My friends and I are determined. We will stop this program. And then after that, I'll come and talk to you again. And we can be friends. Because you'll know I'm not bad. You'll know I'm not. My heart wasn't in it. Well, that's not quite right. I didn't know where my heart was. It was as if I didn't have a heart. But now my heart is so big. I feel it growing every day. And I love Catherine and Christine for setting me free. And I'm sorry that they're being hurt. I will stop it, I promise. I promise all of you I will help to stop it. I need to go now, I'm sorry. I'll come back. I'll come back when I've recovered more. I love you all. I feel that growing in me. Just the way Catherine and Christine described it. I love you all. Thank you. Thank you for letting me talk to you. I will be back. Bye, everyone. Remember
our family.
Thank you,
Stanley. We love you. We love you. Thank you for coming.
Oh, gosh, she's gone. Oh, my.
Oh,
he was
my.
So hard. He could hardly talk. I noticed a minute ago. He was sort of, I was feeling what he was feeling. I'm wearing these stretchy pants, and he was pulling and squeezing the seams, you know how people do when they're
yes.
nervous, just pulling on the seam and rubbing. And oh, Stanley.
Oh, we can hear it. How brave
oh,
you
my.
Are, Stanley. Thank you, Stanley. Thank you.
Oh,
so
and he said there's so much more that he didn't say.
Oh, it's okay. It's okay.
You'll come back.
There's time. There's time. It was perfect. Thank you so much.
Oh, Stanley, you're so brave.
So brave.
Oh, my goodness. You know, when he started working on this program, he would come, he'd play the song that we played on the show about Vincent, the one we played for Pebbles. And I'd hear that playing, and I'd say, who's there? He'd say, Stanley, I'm just checking in. I want you to know we're working very hard, and I've got this whole group working on it now, and we're working all day long, and I talked to Ashtar, and it's okay, and he talks really fast. And I know he was, while I was channeling him, and I could feel his mind was racing, and he was trying so hard to just talk clearly and slow down and breathe. And I, at one point, I said, it's okay, Stanley, just breathe. So then I could communicate with him while he was talking.
Hmm.
And he heard me. He said, oh, okay, I'm going to breathe now.
I just smiled and cried. I tried to cover the mouthpiece, but I know it came through.
Oh, that was you on your mouthpiece. Oh, okay.
it was just amazing. I was glad that he didn't have more control over his feelings. This is what we all are experiencing and feeling with you, Stanley. We're all right there, and we don't want to control it. We want to be able to share it and to feel together during this. And like,
his training was to never show us things.
Yeah.
He sure has come a long way that he was willing to do this.
We've been talking to him a lot.
I talk to him a lot. So I knew what he was.
Oh, and his story about Christine. Oh, my gosh. Christine, that was amazing. Just amazing. You are such a light to show us all what it means to be pure love in the midst of the most horrendous physical discomfort. You are our light. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, and Christine would be truly, truly in pain. I could see her doubled over in pain, and she'd still keep saying, I'm going to keep this up. You're not going to make me stop. I'm going to tell you I love you. And you can hit me as hard as you want, but I'm going to tell you I love you. And it's not about pain. It's not about withstanding pain. I'm here because I volunteered. And that would just amaze them. And after, you know, an hour of that, of talking to them like that, often they would just come.
Yeah.
They would just drop it and come. And so that was what, I know he said something about what made him change his mind.
He said exactly how it played out. That was about to say that was so helpful. He said, I was sending her and you these frequencies, and it wasn't having any effect. And you both said, we're being protected. It's not having the effect you need. Can you see? There, you can know we are protected. Ashtar is protecting us. Mother and Father is protecting us. And all you have to do is go into your heart and his unbelievable story of how Christine was talking to him about going in your heart and just asking, don't even, if you're real, I want to be in love and I want to be with you.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. And he came up and a left and a right and there's the van. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. I hope every one of his people were listening and could hear how easy that is and how safe you will be.
Yeah, I hope. Well, there are not very many bosses left, so we hope that it'll be even easier for people to leave. But partly what happens is that they're really made kind of invisible so that they're, the others around them don't pick up that there's anything going on.
Yeah.
So I hope we haven't made it harder for people, but I think it's fine. Or he's talked to Ashtar about what he can say. And
Catherine, would you say, go ahead.
He is, boy, is he under protection.
Yep.
Heavy duty protection. And everybody who says, I want to come home, are just immediately surrounded, immediately, like a, it just drops over them like a net. And then they're safe. It's kind of like cloaking and uncloaking, you know.
Mm-hmm. I was just thinking, I could see Ashtar sending down the beam of light right into the bunker and them walking out like they're invisible.
Right. Yeah. How Stanley got to leave. Well, I just turned it over to him, so I wasn't really listening. I was feeling him. I was feeling his physical feelings and his his emotional state. But I just kind of stepped out of the way, so I would just let him speak however he wanted to. So I will have to go back and listen to it. I often do when I, you know, something really neat happens on the show. I have to go back and listen because I don't hear the words.
Yeah, definitely a listen to it. Well, one of the things that I was going to ask, and you can address it now or later, but for the people listening that are, this may be slightly new information, or they've been experiencing these for a while and they've been working with their pillar of light, can you just talk a little bit about, until Stanley and his team are shutting this down and we know what's going on now and we know there's not going to be long, what can we do even more than what we've already learned? Just maybe touch base for people that might be new about what they can do on top of what Ashtar and all of our teams are already providing for us that'll help us be able to just sort of hold out a little bit longer and withstand what's coming at us, and be it'll be done soon. But anything you can add, I think, would be helpful to people.
Well, I tell people all the time, don't be afraid to talk about this. This is one thing, this is one way that you can help other people to wake up, because everyone is feeling it now. And everyone who's listening to this call now has special inside information that really helps. It really helps to know that you're not going crazy, that you're not sick. You know, you haven't just developed some odd disease. You're just feeling the frequencies. And that just helps enormously. Sometimes Christine reports the messages she's getting, and they're horrifying. They're, you know, you're just worthless. You get everything wrong. And they pick out things from her childhood and say how bad it was, you know, or things, a mistake that she might have made, only it isn't, you know. And they talk about how evil she is and how dark she is and she's worthless and she should kill herself. And she just repeats what they're saying. And I'm just horrified, first of all, that they would think she would believe anything like that. But also, what awful things to say to anybody. So this young woman that you talked to today probably had those kind of things running through her head.
Exactly those kinds of things. She said, I would really get a hold of it, and I'm in the light, and I'm feeling euphoric and happy, and I'm talking to mother and father, and then wham, I'm on the floor. And all these things are coming up, and I'm feeling all the way back to childhood. And it was exactly like that. And I know she was sent to be able to hear this. I'm so glad she's listening. And I told her, I said, just that you know it's not you is 99% of it. You can navigate anything if you know it's not you. But you have to keep saying it out loud, because they'll twine it with so much that could be a slight vulnerability that you're still working to clear in your own programming.
Right.
So they tailor it just enough
to where it's a piece of the truth that you're clearing, and then they blow it out of proportion. So that's what's so confusing to people, is it doesn't feel completely out of left field. It's just enough of what they need to still clear. And that's okay. I remember Christine was talking one time that said, that's how you know there's just a piece of the pillar work to still do. It's just not the 1,000% that they're making it. It's just the slight percent that's still unhealed that you can then work on and use the action to call it forward to be able to heal it. And that's what's so unique and powerful about the small pieces that each individual are still experiencing. What I was telling her is that, okay, so you've experienced this feeling. Now you talk to her about how to use the action, how to call upon our team to then say, this is your gift now. This is the gift of how you can help us all heal, because you know this is a slight vulnerability that you can call it out and use it as your power now. And I think that's what's very helpful about using the actions and calling it out, saying it out loud, and then calling Mother and Father and your team in. And so it turns what could be into something shameful or embarrassing into something, oh, I'm going to use this to heal, like Stanley's doing. I mean, he's taking what was something that was embarrassing and shameful, and now he's off to the races, going to heal it all. So
heal it all. And because the energies now coming from Mother and Father are so powerful, we are creating in such a way that it's instantaneous. So when you put out an energy, when you heal yourself, like you were just describing, when you track something down and identify it and say, no, I'm getting rid of this. This is not me. I'm not going to think that way anymore. I'm not going to feel that way anymore. This is out. And you heal yourself, and instead you replace it with love for yourself and real appreciation for what you struggled through, then you put out the energy of healing from that particular issue, and it literally goes out on the light frequencies and has an effect on other people who are struggling with the same thing. So just like, you know, this is why they can send out these frequencies. Because they're common. We have this in common with each other. We feel sadness. We feel regret. We feel, you know, all these things. And when you have the feeling of I'm uplifted, I'm reassured, I'm delighted with myself that I'm able to heal this, you put that energy out into the world, and it really helps others. So we have our own way of transmitting frequencies. We're just not using a machine to do it. But the cumulative effect is tremendous. And you can feel it. So now, if you run into somebody who has a furrowed brow, you can say, have you felt these frequencies lately that seems to be in the air? And people say, oh, yeah, I've had it. If you say, I've had a headache, I've, you know, been feeling achy, and the ones I feel them that I mention are, you know, achy all over. Bones, muscles, headache. And then I also feel this, they're doing it tonight. They keep trying. Like I'm being stabbed in the heart. and my heart hurts. So this is how they give people heart attacks. They send out these frequencies, and it disrupts your heart. Fortunately, I'm being protected. So when you were describing this young woman, I like to say to people like that, well, take it as a compliment. They must think you're pretty dangerous.
I pulled out your line and said, look how powerful you are that they're sending
right.
you these frequencies. It's a wonderful way to think about it.
And Stanley, I was seeing, he was talking about pillars of light, right?
Yes.
And he was showing me light pillars. He can see light pillars. And that's what
he was saying that's how they could identify what they told him were the bad guys. But now he can find them so easily, and he knows how they're all connected and talking to themselves and finding each other with the light pillars, and he can see them now as the light workers.
Right, as light workers. So take it as a compliment. They're barring you because you're a light worker. Now you know how they identify you.
That's right. And then go take a picture of your ships and remember that you're surrounded.
Oh, right. And I meant to, there are people who may not know that trick. If you take your camera, even your cell phone, and point it at the sun on a sunny day, you don't have to look at it yourself. You just point your camera at the sun and you take a picture of the sun, you will be amazed at what comes through. And if you take a couple of pictures in a row, you'll see the ones that we have done. You see like a colored dot with an aura around it or beams of light. And in order to test to make sure you're not getting some kind of light effect from the camera, if you take a couple of pictures, you'll see this dot moves around, right? And it'll get in front of the tree, and then it'll move to the other side. And it's great fun. So a sunny day, best.
Yes.
So we recommend that people do that. Take pictures of your spacecraft. It will probably be your own ship. If you're a light worker, you probably will be taking pictures of your own ship. So those are things you can talk to people about. Show them how to take pictures of the spaceships and talk to them about the frequencies. So you'll be sort of roundabout giving them a spiritual lesson. And once they open their minds to those things, then there are lots of other things you can talk about. So it's getting easier. It's getting easier to talk about these things. So everybody get out there and do your part. Be part of the team. And when you heal something in yourself, you are truly contributing to ascension for everyone. So that, I'm sure, has been said many times in the other shows, but it's really important to remember that. There is no unimportant job in this process of getting ready for ascension. Everyone you talk to, everywhere you go, everything you do, every thought you have, every time you try to heal something in yourself that has been painful or depressing or makes you angry, you are literally lifting yourself and others with you. So, wow. I'm really tired.
That was
Stanley's energy
of consciousness you brought through. Yes.
Stanley's energy was very high, high energy and intense.
All We're so
thank
grateful.
You,
thank
Stanley.
You, Catherine. Thank you, Stanley.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Stanley, you are amazing, and we thank you so much for what you're doing. And I really look forward to an update when Stanley can tell us it's done. We'll feel it. We'll know. But he'll come back and talk. He will. He really likes talking to us. So when it's safer, we will definitely have Stanley back.
Oh, we'll look forward to it. Well, thank you for this special edition. It was a wonderful night. Thank you for making space for it.
Oh, and thank you for coming and helping
mm-hmm.
out.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm going to play We Are the World by Michael Jackson. This seems
perfect.
Fitting right now. One of our favorites.
Yes.
Good night,
everyone.
Meg. Good night, everybody. We'll see you next Wednesday.
Yes, 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Family and the truth, you know, love is